It's straight up at 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you with us this morning. In for the conversation, a member of the Orange County Board of Supervisors from the second District. She assumed office back in March. And prior to her victory in that election, she was the mayor, served as the mayor of Costa Mesa. She's received a bachelor's degree in English and women's studies from UCLA and a Juris Doctorate from Seattle University. And really, here in Orange County, she has set the standard for transparency among supervisors. We welcome for the conversation Orange County Supervisor Katrina Foley. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing great on a beautiful fall day. How are you this morning?
Well, the sky is clear, the air is clear, and our beaches are open, so I'm doing much better today than I was a couple days ago.
Yeah, I hearken back about a week or so, and things were a lot more grim. Let's go right to it, because right after this conversation, you're walking into a meeting related to the oil spill. What are you going to be sharing in that meeting, and what are you expecting to hear?
Right. So we have daily briefings at 9 a.m. every day with the Internal Emergency Operations Center. I have one of our team members, our Deputy Chief of Staff, Nick Annis. He sits at the comm there. So we get a briefing every day. We do more listening than sharing. However, I do share if community members send things to me. So we share about those. Like, we use that position to really influence opening of our harbors, both at Dana Point and at Newport Harbor. So, but today I expect us to hear some information about the water quality testing that's going on. They have sites all up and down the coast. I also, you know, the command centers moved to Costa Mesa, so it's closer, so that's better for everyone. And then we'll expect to hear some more information today about the vessel cleanup. If your boat or your sailboat or your jet ski or even your paddleboard got oil on it, there's a place to go where you can get it cleaned appropriately without it causing further damage either to the water or to you. So lots of information gained at those meetings.
And then I try
to put it out and share it out with the community.
Okay. And regarding that cleaning, I just want to touch on that really fast, because my understanding is if you try and clean your jet ski or your boat off with like regular Dawn or something, not only does it not work with this type of oil, but it may actually be dangerous for the waters.
That's right. And it also makes it a little bit more, that it could make the situation worse for your equipment. So, yes, they have a phone number. It's 1-866-985-8366. And you can call that number, and they'll schedule you an appointment. We have decontamination sites in Newport, Huntington, and Long Beach Harbor.
Okay. And that number is also valid for, it's a claims number that's been established for individuals or businesses that might have been impacted, correct?
That is correct. The claims number is the same, and so they'll just direct you to the right, next step.
Okay. Back in 1979, coastal commissioners called for the pipeline to be buried 10 feet below the seafloor, and yet video that we saw from the Coast Guard makes it clear that that's not the case. Is Amplify responsible and legally liable for that?
Well, Amplify is the responsible party as of this moment in time. And even if it turns out, you know, we've heard now from the Coast Guard law enforcement arm that some kind of vessel went over the pipe and an anchor possibly moved the pipe 105 feet. Even if that's true, and that was the impetus that created the situation that we're dealing with now, Amplify under the law is still the responsible party for the cleanup. They can then file suit against whomever this vessel owner is if they can figure that causation issue out. But Amplify is going to be the responsible party. So, yes. And then I know that the Coast Guard addressed the 10 feet, it was supposed to be buried 10 feet. They are investigating that. We have got multiple investigations going on. I'll talk about that.
Okay. Is there also, because I was also going to ask if the pipeline had an automatic shutoff system in place, because according to that same copy of the 1979 Coastal Commission report, they should have had an automatic shutoff, yet there wasn't an automatic shutoff that happened.
Yeah, that's right. And so all of those issues are being investigated by the Coast Guard, by the department, you know, NBTS, the Transportation Department, by the State Department. The Attorney General just announced yesterday, visited Huntington Beach with U.S. Senator Padilla, and they've announced that the State Department is investigating. And then, additionally, yesterday, it was a busy day, Assemblywoman Cadi Pietri-Norris, I joined her, as well as Speaker Anthony Rendon, and he has selected her to chair a Assembly Select Committee under her authority as the accountability chair for the state. And so she's going to investigate, you know, what systems worked, what systems failed, what systems weren't in place that should have been or that we should have in place for the future. So there's multiple investigations. Even the DA is investigating. So there's lots of investigating going on. And I'm confident we're going to get answers.
Okay. All right. You mentioned Cadi Pietri-Norris, along with Mike Levin, Dave Min. They've all called for an end to offshore drilling. What kind of concentrated effort would it actually take to achieve that? And do you fight the oil company's deep pockets with grassroots organizing, or does it take more than that?
Oh, it's going to take more than that. I'm very supportive, along with those others you mentioned, of the... There's a bill for an act that Feinstein has proposed, as well as Levin. Feinstein's bill is a little broader. It includes Washington and Oregon coast, as well as California. And Congressman Levin and I flew up at the beginning of this whole crisis. We took a helicopter ride along the coast all the way up to Dana Point to view where the oil was moving. And so he's very committed to this cause, but his bill is more West Coast. So, yes, all those bills must be passed. In fact, his bill is included in the president's infrastructure bill. And as he likes to say, it's at page 904 or something like that. So, yes, okay. Supportive of that. We also, you know, there needs to be a plan, though, right? You can't just say, okay, we're going to shut it down tomorrow,
right?
Because you can't just leave all that infrastructure out there. You can't have things abandoned. So we must work together. And I know Cadi talked about this recently on a briefing. We've got to get some kind of a working group, if you will. That's probably not the right phrase, but that's what I'll use today.
Okay.
stakeholder group.
Some kind of a forum together.
Yeah. A decommission plan.
Okay.
And, you know, Orange Coast Keepers, they've talked about this too. You got to have a decommission plan and use the workers that are currently employed with all these platforms and pipelines to really go out and decommission these sites. And then simultaneously, we've got to start the transition of training and moving people from these dirty energy jobs to clean energy jobs. You got to do it simultaneous because these are very, very high paying jobs that support middle class families, and we don't want people to lose their jobs.
Okay. And the crazy, this is the dumb guy question that you'll receive this morning from me. This is the dumb guy question. Substituting, for instance, the oil platforms and eventually down the road, of course, maybe with wind turbines.
Okay, well, you know, some of us have been talking about that. I actually brought that up to the governor when he visited Huntington Beach recently. And we had the privilege of taking a walk on the beach there to show him kind of the impacts. Well, and he made a good point. I think there's all kinds of alternative uses. Certainly, there's a whole marine life environment that's down there that we don't want to disturb, that is attached to many of these platforms that have been there for decades. So yes, we're going to have to find some alternative use. And what that will be, I don't know, but we do need to consider that.
Okay. I want to go back to the investigation for just a second. And maybe what you can tell us currently, what you know about the apparent communication failures from Amplify and the Coast Guard that happened around the start of this. And I think the question we'll end up with is the relationship between the Coast Guard and Amplify too cozy in order for the Coast Guard to remain objective in this investigation?
I don't believe so. I know that what it maybe appears if you're looking from the outside in. Right. And partly I think that is because of the way that the system is set up. The system that we have under federal law requires that the responsible party be a partner in the unified command. The reason for that, and it's an important reason, is because they have to pay for everything, right? So if you had to deal with them outside of the circle, it would be too cumbersome. It would be inefficient. They're at the table. They're there writing checks every single day. So we want them to be part of the solution. That doesn't mean they're dictating what happens. The Coast Guard is doing everything that they can, not just Coast Guard, but, you know, the California Fish and Wildlife, spill intervention team, the oil recovery, network recovery team, the county, Orange County Public Works, the Orange County Sheriff's Department, all the different cities, Laguna Beach, Newport Beach, Huntington Beach, the Marine Safety Divisions, everybody is coordinating on this. And so I think that if I had to make a suggestion, which I've already made this suggestion, but I'll tell you what it would be.
Please.
Remove their logo from everything. There's no reason for us to be advertising for them. And that also would give, you know, you don't have this appearance that, oh, it's just them taking over.
Right.
They are not in charge.
Right. That's a fine suggestion. You know what? And it's an easy, simple solve. It really is.
Yeah.
I open this. I want to ask you a couple of questions about the makeup of the supervisors themselves. So I open this up with saying that you've set the standard for transparency among supervisors, and I don't just say that to blow smoke in your face. I think it's true. Assembly Bill 339. A lot of supervisors have resisted implementing phone-in public comments since the beginning of the pandemic, despite calls to do so by residents and even some colleagues. Will people be able to call in or write in comments or questions for the supervisors?
Well, I hope so. You know, I have advocated for that since I took the seat, literally before I took the seat.
Right.
So I believe in opening up our process to greater community input. When I was mayor of Costa Mesa, we had a Zoom call for our city council meetings as a result of the pandemic. We had people call in, and they weren't on the Zoom. They just had their phone number or their name listed, and then I would just call on them. Okay, open up your line now, speaker number, you know, phone number ending in 5123, whatever it is. It was not that big a deal, and we actually got more participants from maybe individuals who might not normally go to a city council meeting to call in. And so that's good. That's good for government. We want to have more voices. We want to hear from more people. I think there's a fear that, you know, like groups will take over the lines, and then it won't be distributed amongst a wide variety of voices. I'm not really afraid of that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because we do that at our city council meetings here in town, and it appears to be a really successful and fair way to hear from a wider swath of residents, really.
Yeah, Costa Mesa, as I understand it, and many other cities too, because when we were on these mayor's calls, we'd always survey each other during the pandemic. And many cities are continuing to have that option, even though they're in person now.
Right.
So I don't see why we wouldn't. And unfortunately, we have to have a state law to force us to do it, which, you know, it's just do the right thing. Right. Government should be open and accessible.
Right. Now, to that point, and I hate to say during COVID, but during COVID's big giant spike that we experienced a few months back, you took it upon yourself to inform the public by holding briefings. But then the chair forbade medical experts from County Health Department to join in. What were those conversations like between you and the chair?
Well, that's funny. No one's ever asked me that. You know, we didn't have any conversations because he doesn't speak to me directly. He just goes through the CEO.
Okay. Thank you.
I think that some people, you know, I'm a very confident person. And if I have an opinion about something, I try to have my facts and my position all, you know, tied up in a bow. And I, you know, argue it as strongly as I can. Some people, well, and by the way, I'm trained to do that because I've been a lawyer for 25 years, but some people don't, they can't handle that, right? They can't handle the back and forth conversation. They take it personally. I'm just making a point and stating the positions to support my point. And if you don't like to engage, then maybe you shouldn't be in this business. I don't know.
There you go. I said it at the top of the conversation, and I'll say it again. Having set the standard for transparency among supervisors, Orange County Supervisor Katrina Foley from the 2nd District, thank you so much for the update today. Thank you so much for being part of the program, and we'll look forward to maybe talking to you in studio next time.
Yes, let's make sure to do that. And just real quickly before I leave, I want to make sure that everyone knows to go to our website. It's you could just Google my name, Katrina Foley, supervisor, and then it's the first item that comes up. And that's our official side website. And you can sign up for our newsletter. We try to give regular updates. We have a weekly newsletter every week. And then throughout the week, we give, if there's some kind of a COVID update that we need people to know, urgent action on, or if there's a, you know, right now the oil spill update. So we love for you to sign up for the newsletter, and we always welcome contributions. We try to get the word out about exciting things happening in the county, arts related, tourist related, environmentally, and things that relate to the environment, climate action, public safety, my core issues that I'm working on, homelessness and housing.
Fantastic. I know your time is important, and I thank you so much for spending some of it with us this morning. Orange County Supervisor Katrina Foley, thank you so much.
Take care. Have a great day.
You have a great day. Thank you as well. Bye-bye. 818 on the Mornings with Ed Show.